Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 56, starting at verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? All day long they twist my words. They are always plotting to harm me. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, eager to take my life. On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations. Record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Now I'd like to ask Colin to come up. Thank you.
It's a bit, pardon me, it's a bit hot in here, so I've taken my coat off, but you might think that the birthday card for Fashion Sense was quite appropriate with the shirt. It is lovely to be back. Thank you for inviting us to be able to share in this way. This is the old pulpit. This is good. Yes. Oh, hooray. Some things haven't changed. I've chosen today to speak on My Tears, God's Heart. And if you listened carefully to the reading of that psalm, Psalm 56, just one of those verses I want to focus on and elaborate, actually, because in the NIV it read, record my lament, list my tears in your scroll, are they not in your record? In the Revised Standard, it says, you are my God, you have kept count of my tossings, and you have put my tears in your bottle. And in the Living, it says, you have seen me tossing and turning through the night. You have collected my tears and preserved them in a bottle. Every one you have recorded in your book. Now, whether we talk of a flask, whether we talk of a bottle, whether we talk of a wineskin, whatever we talk of, what staggers me is that my tears, whatever they're cried over, are recorded or kept by God. And I just want to start by saying, sometimes we lose sight of the deep, intimate compassion that God has for each one of us. How amazing. Now, I don't think, need to be careful, but I don't think God is sitting up there with some great big swimming pool catching all the tears of Colin Rolfe's or of anyone else. But it just says to me how involved God wants to be in my life. How wonderful. The tears that I might cry in the night that no one ever sees, that God knows. Now, this was written by David when he was seized by the Philistines in Gath, and he calls out to God. He always calls out to God, doesn't he? Isn't he always calling out, help, I'm being swamped, I'm up to my neck in stuff, please, please help me. Yes. And isn't that true of us? That there are many times when we call out to God. Now, it seems to me that the only thing when we become Christians that we are promised, we're going to experience eternal life and hope and joy and forgiveness and all of those things, but the only thing that we are promised is suffering, because we follow the one who is the suffering servant. So suffering is going to be part of our life at some stage. In the natural world, if everything was sunshine, it'd be a desert. And if everything is sunshine in our Christian life, well, it's barren. So the water that comes in and the sun that comes in helps us to grow if we take it from God. We sang that song, you know, in a land of plenty, in a land of suffering, I'll put it together and I'll turn it back to praise for God. And that needs to be reality for us. Friends, we need to be careful. I've got a friend who only ever talks of the Christian life in superlatives. So when I preach, he'll say, oh, that was phenomenal, Colin. That was wonderful. How was your life this week? Oh, just fantastic. Now, I just think that's ridiculous. Because God needn't have put the Book of Lamentations. He needn't have put most of the Psalms. He needn't have recorded Job. And why on earth did he put the lives of so many of his people who suffered if everything's wonderful? It's not. It's not. So we need to be careful. Now this morning, I wanted to talk about tears. I could have chosen the Great Commission and said to you all, get out into Lilydale and convert Lilydale. Or I could have taken the 23rd Psalm and we could have all just walked by still waters and sat down and munched some grass. But no, today let's think about tears. And it was only a couple of months ago that I was reading through Psalms one night, only one psalm a night, and I thought, that hasn't been in my Bible before, that verse. Do you ever find that something that you've read many times, suddenly you think, hang on a minute, that wasn't there when I read it last time. Well, I read that and I thought, you have collected my tears and preserved them in your bottle. That is amazing, God. That is amazing. Now, can I say, as wonderful as Peter and Nola might be, they are not the answer to Lilydale Baptist Church. They are just going to work in a team with everyone else. This is the answer to Lilydale Baptist Church. This is the answer to Lilydale Baptist. So all of you who are on ground level, who come here every week, you're at the forefront of what's going to happen. Those of us who have just come in as visitors, who have some link or allegiance with the church, we are going to be the prayerful support behind. You're going to be on the ground, we're going to be the support behind. This is a team effort. We have a friend, a doctor friend, who's a missio in an incredibly difficult part of the world. In fact, so difficult and so protected, she's not allowed to publish where she is, and we just sort of get secret emails, as it were. And she says, the responsibility of the Christian church is to love loudly. And I think that's so true. We need to be loving loudly, as loudly as we can. Now, we were here in the 80s. We're in that old building in Castella Street. It celebrated its centenary the year we came. And it was interesting that when it was opened 100 years before that, it was fully paid for. It was amazing. Nothing is less tabernacle than that. There was no way that building could be moved. No way at all. And then we moved to the elderly citizens, and then the land was bought here. All of that was in part of our time. That was 35 years ago. That is never going to be repeated. Let's not look back and say, was it? Yeah, there were some fun things that happened there, some dreadful things as well, but some fun things. We brought the piano in with the organ. How dreadful was that? Well, if you were Christine Gray playing the organ, it was initially quite dreadful. But that's all right. And, yes, other stories. But, friends, we're not going back to the era of what was. We're going on to a new era. The losses are here. Stuart and Leslie are here. And you're all here. So it's a whole new era of what is going to happen. That song, Hosanna, and I didn't know that that was necessarily going to be sung, but in my notes I had down, break my heart, God, for what breaks yours? What breaks the heart of God? If we're talking about tears, what is it that makes God cry? Now, I know that's giving God human stuff and all that. But just in our thinking, when we sing that, what do we think? God, my heart wants to break. For what breaks your heart? So don't we think the next step, well, what is it that does break the heart of God? If it needs to break my heart as well, what breaks his heart? Well, I just have five fairly brief little points about tears in Scripture. And these tears that we need to be crying, that God gathers in his bottle or does whatever, are not tears of stamped feet that I didn't get my way. I mean, I'm a believer that if people want to stamp their feet because they don't get their own way, well, it's better that they leave the church and go and bless someone else. We want to work together for what the future is, don't we? Isn't that what we're on about? We just had communion and we've all said we're all one body. So we need to be working in the one direction. We won't all think the same, but we need to be working in the one direction. So the first thing that I think breaks the heart of God is that when Jesus in Luke 19, when he came into Jerusalem and he looked over Jerusalem, he wept. Why did he cry? I think because Jerusalem was meant to be the city of peace. It was meant to be a city in a way that welcomed the Messiah. It was meant to be a city that said, praise God, here is the one we've been waiting for and looking for. But in fact, he found people who misunderstood truth, who didn't know who he was, and who ultimately killed him. How sad. How sad. Another time he cried because they were like sheep without a shepherd as he looked out. How sad. Now, friends, I don't believe Lily Dale will be converted unless what one of the words of that song said, we're on our knees praying. And we need, as a church and as Christians, to be on our knees praying that people who at this point in time don't understand about Jesus come to understand about Jesus. Come to understand about Jesus. My belief that we in the Christian church have lost a lot of confidence. You know, instead of going forward and saying, we've got a wonderful message of Jesus, we're going, I don't know if I've got anything to say. Of course we've got plenty to say. And it should be positive, and it should be loving, and it should be embracing. Now, I'm not saying it should be tolerant of everything. Don't misquote me. But it needs to be embracing of people. Because Jesus came and embraced people. No one gets on the bus. We live only 10 minutes out of the centre of Adelaide, and we have a bus going past, and I catch the bus frequently, go into the hospital to visit people. No one gets on the bus and sits beside me and says, I can tell you're a Baptist minister, tell me about Jesus. No one's ever done that. Never. I probably wouldn't be here if they had. Yeah. But we need to grasp with both hands any opportunity God gives us to tell people about Jesus. Last year, I was having trouble with my shoulder and I went to an osteopath. While I'm lying there with not a lot on, This young guy's pulling my shoulder and all, and I just said to him, you know, you're a married guy, you're a single guy, in a relationship. He said, oh, I'm in a relationship, and partner and I are about to have a baby, and oh, that was fine. Anyhow, he talked on, and he started talking about sin. And when I left, I thought, no, I'm not going to let him get away with that. So next time I went back, I said, Sean, last time I was here, you were talking to me about sin. Let's sort of unpack that a bit. And so he told me that he'd grown up in a very strict Catholic family and his way of life wasn't acceptable to his father and, oh, a whole lot of muck. So he said, but what do you think about God? And so I said, oh, well, I don't always understand God's ways, but I don't doubt God. And so he said, oh, I need to think about that. I said, really, what you're saying is I need two more visits so you can keep the conversation going. And but anyhow, ultimately we did talk on more and I took a book and gave it to him. Now, I don't think that's great, and I'm certainly not an evangelist. But I think that if the sin thing had just gone over my head, that would have been it. But I thought it was, this is a God-given opportunity. And I just would like to think that Lily Dale, as they throw out God-given opportunities, that the church here grab them and use them. And that you reinforce that with your life and pray. The second thing is in Mark 14. So the first thing is we need to be serious about helping people understand about Jesus and responding to him. If I could just tell another little story, one of our daughters is married to Chris. When she started going out with Chris, they were both at uni. And one night we were standing at the sink doing dishes and she said to me, Dad, Chris doesn't know about Jesus. And I said, right. And she said, it's not his fault, is it? And I thought, no, it's not his fault. We assume that when someone's gone through uni and they're not in church, they're rejected. He had never heard in a way that he understood. And so one day she said to him, I've got to ring Dad at church. Chris said, why would a church have a telephone? Now, for all of us in the church, we laugh and say, of course a church should have a telephone. But for someone outside of the church, you see, they don't know what goes on. We're like a little secret group in here. Really, people don't know what's going on. People driving, it's amazing. Chris became a Christian, went to Bible college, youth pastor in a Baptist church. But simply because there were some links made and opportunities taken. I think they're coming all the time. I think they're coming all the time. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar. Because if the harvest fields are ready to be harvested, something's gone wrong with the harvest. We need to pick that up. Secondly, in Mark 14, Peter, after he denied Jesus, wept and broke down. Sorrow and repentance. Haven't we all said or done something stupid on the spur of the moment? And isn't this exactly what we need to either repent of or deal with? Repentance isn't popular. I mean, that's another word that's really only in the church in a funny way. I mean, politicians are not really repentant about stupid decisions or spending our money. Oh no, it's someone else's fault. But we need to be on our knees confessing because the church can. That verse that we often quote from 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Just turn that around. If we don't confess our sins, what can he do? Well, he can't forgive them. So we live in sin. And if we live in sin, we live in a broken relationship. So we need to be people of confession. And sometimes we need to make corporate confession. As a church, let's cut out the justification for our behaviour. Let's stop blaming other people. Let's say, God, it was my fault, like David. Whatever faults he had, he was willing to say, it was my fault, I did it. Boom. I'll accept that responsibility. So, I think the second thing for a church to cry over are our sins. The third thing is found in Mark 9, where that father of the boy who had the demon, cried out with tears, help my unbelief, he cried out. Now, lack of faith, desperation. I think we've all cried out like that, with tears. God, I don't understand, please help. Yep, but I think it's probably our kids and our grandchildren who bring us to the most tears. And I'm sure that the father in the prodigal son stood at the gate, and I don't think he just stood there, where is he? I'm sure he stood there crying to God and probably crying. All of those women who had their kids thrown in the river or killed when Moses survived. Imagine the tears of those mums and dads. Why? Why has this happened to us if God's supposed to be on our side? So, I think we never stop praying for our children. Broken relationships, marriages, addictions, abuses, all sorts of things. Friends, Lilydale doesn't want to hear our message if we haven't sorted it out with our family. Last Sunday, Helen and I were sitting in a little country church. I think there are about 20 of us there. And in the time, one lady said, I had an inner healing experience this week. That's all it was said. But after church, she happened to be talking to me as we were having a coffee. And I said, oh, that was lovely that you shared that. And then she shared, and this is a woman who's been married over 50 years, her mother died, and a member of the family accused this lady and her husband of stealing money from the mum, of defrauding, and said some horrible things to her. And she said, I didn't want to forgive him. Said, I'm a Christian, but I didn't want to forgive him until, and this was a number of years down the track, she said, until I opened my Bible this week. And there it had, in her application Bible, something about forgiveness of family members. She said, I forgave him and I'm a new woman. Friends, there's lots of family muck, lots of stuff. And I often wonder, you know, are there members of your family outside of the church because you're in it? We all need to have a good look at ourselves and say, do people in my family understand something in a positive way about Jesus because of me? Or are they all saying, oh, how happy we are. We don't have to spend Sunday morning with them. We need to be careful, but we need to keep a compassion for people who need to know Jesus. We need to be praying for confessing, as Peter did. We need to be praying for our families. Now, what about the lady? This is number four, the lady in Luke 7. Jesus said, she wet my feet with her tears, for she loved very much. Expressions of devotion. Friends, we need to keep our Christian life on the boil. We're not going to be effective anywhere if we're not keeping it going. We don't want to be lukewarm. We need to be keeping things cruising along. So it's good to have a spiritual check every now and then. Where am I actually at with God? And then the very last thing, Jesus offered up prayers with loud cries and tears, prayers for himself. So the question there is, do I pray? Do I pray and expect God to do something? We've got a daughter in Alice Springs, and so we've had quite a bit to do with Alice Springs, with the church there, and with a number of the lovely Indigenous people. And one of the ladies there, who's just recently died, we're up there for her funeral, used to ring up perhaps twice a week. Her name was Napuljari, and she would ring up and say, Jungler, that was me, please pray. And she might say, please pray for Uncle Fred. And so I'd pray over the telephone for Uncle Fred, and that's, she only wants a couple of minutes, that'd be fine. Next week she'd ring back for someone else, and I'd say, oh, how's Uncle Fred? And she'd go, Jungler, he come out of intensive care next day. Remember you pray for him? And like as much as to say, didn't you believe what you were praying? Like, he's out, he's well. That you prayed, he's gone. And we need to keep that going in us. We need to keep that going in us, that prayer. Now, people think about tears and weeping and all, you know. Grown men don't cry, rubbish. If grown men don't cry, they just get angry. So it's better for us to cry. And you know, at a funeral, people will say, oh, I'm coping so well, I haven't cried. Yeah, you're not coping at all well if that person was close to you. Because the tears of God's people particularly are so precious to God. So precious to God. Now, we know ultimately all of that will be wiped away. There'll be no more tears, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain. Won't heaven be wonderful? I can't wait sometimes to get to heaven. But I don't know whether I want to be here with some of you, if that's all you've got. If that's the celebration, I'm not sure. No, heaven will be just wonderful. Right. And how lovely it is on earth, as Hebrews says, to have a great high priest who what? Understands, sympathises and intercedes for us. So on earth we have someone who understands us. We have God in heaven who gathers our tears. And we need to be crying, as I've said, over certain things. A couple of months ago, we picked up our little granddaughter from kinder, and she came out with this. Well, I'm thinking, is it the rainbow serpent, or what's this? And so she came out, and not wanting to upset her artistic ability, I said, Daisy, what is this? And she looked at me as much as to say, have I got the most stupid grandfather in the world? She looked and she said, Papa, it's a stick with with some wool wound around it. yeah, righto, thank you, yes it is, right. Great. Great. That was fairly obvious, and I think a lot of God's ways are fairly obvious. You know, I think we have complicated things so much that we're confused. And I think the world is confused because we've complicated some of the message and some of the situation. I don't think God's ways are hidden and complex. I think God's ways are really quite clear and quite open. And so I'm asking that Lilydale Baptist, as you go ahead in a new era, that you, along with us, cry tears over things that break God's heart. Because if we're crying over the things that break God's heart, then God can break into our heart and God, pardon me, can deal with the things of the church. So, let's keep our concern for people who don't know Jesus, and let's take the opportunities that come our way. It's my belief that wherever God has put us, there he can use us. So if you're in the Elderly Citizens Club, wonderful. You're there for a purpose. If you're a stay-at-home dad, you're there for a purpose. Wherever you are, you're there for a purpose. And that's the area of influence. So I don't think that's all that difficult. Wherever we are, that's what we do. So let's keep our concern for people to come to know Jesus. Let's deal with our sin seriously before God. Let's resolve family issues and be peacemakers where we can. Now, sometimes members of the family don't want to be at peace with us, but where we can, let's deal with that. Let's have a check on where we are spiritually and whether we're pretending or whether we're genuine with God. And then let's check our prayer life and see what's going on there. If we believe what we're praying for, let's cry tears that affect the heart of God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, as you look into our hearts, you know what we're on about. You know whether we have a compassion or a concern for people who don't know Jesus. You know whether we're interested in excusing or genuinely dealing with our sin. You know our family situations. You know our spiritual life, and you know our prayer life. Lord, may it be that the tears that you gather are tears that come from those areas of our lives that are going to work in union with you and bring about your kingdom. Father, may all pretense, all sham, all bits and pieces that are rubbish and unnecessary disappear. And may there be a great sense of the movement of the Spirit of God here at Lilydale, amongst each one of us and amongst the church corporately, so the people will come to know Jesus, and that we will live lives worthy of our calling in Jesus Christ. Thank you that your ways are not hidden from us. Thank you that you are not complex in the sense of complicating things. Thank you that you are open, direct, clear. And Father, may we pick up that clarity and walk in the newness of life that you have given to us. May there be a new era dawning here at Lilydale, and may people come to know Jesus as a result of our crying out to you. For we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Him, which is just the whim of this old man, but it's a reminder of God's love, and then it's also a reminder of how God's heart breaks when Satan